is the podcast where we get a little uncomfortable, a little awkward on our journey of healing through mindfulness and becoming self-aware.
Yeah, your podcast has become one of those bread and butter podcasts. If I listen to something, it's one of those things in the background. And to see just how many new faces have come into your circle, how your own work and direction in life has transformed, has been really beautiful to see, because I've always felt since when I met you, we've run parallel to each other, obviously in our own unique journeys, but just to see the amount of growth happening. And we don't talk all the time, but there's always that feeling that we have each other's backs, especially with this kind of work. And so I see that, I feel that, I acknowledge it, and I'm here for all of it, which brings me to telling you how excited I am to do this episode with you, because things are gonna get juicy. let's put it that way. It's gonna get juicy. It's gonna get really interesting. And yeah, before we get started, do you have any questions or anything that you wanted to lead in with? Or
yeah, so first, thank you. I'm like gushing right now at you, everything you just said. And two, I really wanted you to be the first guest of season two for a reason. And that's not just because your episode is one of the top five. Congratulations.
I didn't know that. Wow.
It's one of the top five of the first full season. It's also, like you said, our lives run parallel and we have this deep understanding that's unspoken, that we constantly have each other's backs. And I've felt that since I met you. And it's so unique to have that kind of connection with someone that isn't necessarily in your friend group. They're not in your circle. You don't see them on a weekly, monthly basis, but for some reason, there is this undeniable tie that you just understand each other. And anytime I see a message from you come up, I'm like, like little flutters. I'm like, ah, oh, what does she have to say today? Like, I just know
I
it's going to be something
good
and constructive. And yeah, no, it's the cutest thing ever. There's reasons why I wanted you to be here. So thank you so much. And this episode is going to be a little bit different than what I've done before, but in the best way possible, because it's going to be a little bit more personal. And what I've noticed over the past year is the more personal and vulnerable I get, the more people feel seen and heard themselves. Now, that isn't always easy, being vulnerable and airing my own dirty laundry sometimes, but I've grown to love it. And I've grown to just understand its power. It's more than just being open and honest and being an open book. It's people just feeling not so alone and realizing, oh, someone else has those thoughts and they were brave enough to actually say it. What can I do? What can I feel? How can I go about things a little bit differently, maybe? So for those who don't know, I'm going to let Amanda do a little bit of an intro in case you haven't listened to her previous episode. I will link it in the show notes so you can go back, listen to the first one, get to know her on a much deeper level. But this one is definitely a little bit more on Amanda's craft opposed to her as a person. So do you want to explain a little bit about yourself and then the topic of birth charts, natal charts, readings, the entire realm of astrology that I love so much?
Yeah, absolutely. I am happy to take it from here. And whew, yeah, before I even dive into this whole language as it is, my name is Amanda Rose. And if you've heard this like podcast in my episode with Danny before, you know that I am far from your average astrologer or practitioner. And I have taken my background in social service work and mental health, and I have fused it with my passion for more Eastern and intuitive philosophy. And over the last couple of years, I have really taken a big nosedive into astrology, specifically because it was basically the tool that really helped me get out of some of my biggest funks. And when I say funk, I mean cycles that weren't serving me well. Trying to fit into a specific group or association or job or title that just didn't fit, and I never knew why. And not only that, it was a really big self-awareness tool to understand my own personality, because truth be told, before I discovered astrology, although I had all these tools that I had gained from being a social worker and working with youth in at-risk areas of Hamilton, I still felt like there was a missing link. And I still kept seeing and noticing other people that I was working with get caught in the same cycles. And so as I started to get more into my holistic craft, I began to really fall in love with astrology specifically as a language and tool to really help us to anchor what our challenges, our gifts, our opportunities, and lessons are in this lifetime. And the reason why I have become so passionate about it with respect to personal discovery is I truly think that it is one of the practices that are rooted in spirituality that also has a lot of connections with not just psychology, but the scientific community as well. So this is a very modern practice. It's a very modern system that is coming back and having a renaissance. And what I have seen my own clients, my own friends, even my own self experience with just using this as a tool in reclaiming your cosmic blueprint, as I like to call it, is pretty astounding. And I think the really big thing here is when you learn your natal birth chart, which I'll explain more about what that is in a few moments, you realize that there is nothing inherently truly wrong with you. And it is society and certain systems and certain beliefs and programming that have taught us otherwise. And so astrology really makes you fall in love with who you are, no matter what imperfections come your way. And just like you said, the self-acceptance and the self-awareness aspect of personal growth, it's uncomfortable as can be. And I'll tell you right now, as someone that has literally the same chart as you, but upside down, it is not easy to unpack the things that have been hidden for so long that even you had a hard time understanding consciously. Oh my goodness. And so I want to go ahead and talk a little bit about what are natal birth charts and how do we read them? So this is perfect timing because I'm literally finishing up the details of my first book, which is going to talk all about this and how to decode it for yourself. But astrology is the language of the cosmos, based on legends, myths, and stories that have been told about the stars. Now, astronomy is astrology's scientific cousin, which goes more in depth into the multi-dimensional aspects of the universe and talks more about the gravitational pull of the planets and how they impact life on Earth. Our own ancestors used to study the patterns in the sky and relate them to real life events and behaviors in our individual and collective lives. So for example, by studying the phases of the moon, so many different individuals, scholars, philosophers, farmers, they tracked these patterns because they understood that the moon's gravitational pull affected the waters. And so looking at the moon phases, you can see the ideal time for crop. The ideal time for planting crop, the ideal time for reaping what you have sown, et cetera, et cetera. And it's also been a way to understand different phases of our own human behavior, because let's face it, nothing is ever the same. Things are always moving. Things are always changing. Of course, we are always moving and changing as the universe moves and change. And so where the natal birth chart gets really interesting is that it has been studied by astrologers, scholars, doctors for over thousands of years, because it is literally a snapshot in time of where the cosmos were aligned in the sky at the exact moment of your birth. So it is said that at the moment you were born, the alchemy of the cosmos initiated your soul into its physical body. And so by studying the patterns in the sky at the moment of your birth, you gain access to your cosmic blueprint. And fun fact, this is a bit more astronomy. Every single movement, the constellations shift about 1 degree in the sky. So even if for twins, for example, even if twins are born 2 minutes apart, they'll have a different chart because everything is always in motion. And so this cosmic blueprint is a manual to your soul. And it can determine very specific individual personality traits, as well as guide you through very long-term cycles that you might come by. And each of us, as I mentioned, will have a completely different chart, even if we were born seconds after the other person. So eventually I will share my screen and I'll show you an example of how, even though you and I were born on the same day, Danny, 6 hours apart exactly, our charts are literally upside down. Even though we have the same planetary placements, same zodiac placements, the house system is upside down. Therefore, the themes that all of our energies manifest is totally different. It's fascinating. It's beyond fascinating. And so with that being said, yeah, you're so much more than just your star sign, your sun sign. You are made up of each and every single planet in our solar system. And today we're going to discuss tropical Western astrology. So this is the most known astrology in the West here. And I'm going to give you the three main things to look at in your chart if you're a beginner. So these are the first three things I say to anyone just getting into astrology to explore. And we're going to look at these things more in depth today as we look at your chart. So these are the three core things: the planets, the zodiac signs, and the houses. All right. The planets include the sun and the moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune, Uranus, Pluto, all of them in that order. And each of them represent different roles you will play throughout your life. So imagine your life was like a movie. Picture your life, sorry, even better, a TV series. Think of your favorite TV series and the one that you've always wished you could star in. So think about how many different faces and roles you have to play in that TV series for people to understand the different aspects of yourself. So each of these planets that I mentioned play a different role throughout your life.
100%.
So for example, your sun sign, your star sign, your sun is in Pisces. So therefore, the sun is the leading role in your life. And what I'm getting to now is that Pisces is the character that fills that role, the archetype that fills that role. So moving on to the zodiac, there are 12 constellations that we recognize in tropical astrology. They represent the different characters that each of those roles might play. So just like I mentioned, the archetype of Pisces is the leading role in your life. And so this is something that would affect your conscious awareness and how you act. And so every other planet has a different role, and I'll talk all about them as we proceed. And then finally, this is the third part of this three parts discussion, the houses. Now, the houses represent the different themes that may present themselves more frequently in your life. So the houses in astrology take up the spatial area of your natal birth chart, whereas the zodiac take up more the celestial area. When I show you the natal chart, I'll give you an example. And each of the 12 houses represent different overall themes we'll explore in our lifetime, such as your image, your career, marriage, inheritances, and so on and so forth. And depending on which planets or signs are in each of those 12 houses, you might have more specific themes that manifest in your life. For example, your sun is in Pisces in the first house. This is an example of your chart, Danny. The first house is the house of first impressions. And you may find that your conscious awareness is very much directed towards how you appear, how you express yourself to the world around you. You're a podcast host. I know you've worked in event planning. I know you have a PR background. So right off the bat, there's something we can really keep an eye on.
This is very exciting.
Yes. So now I'm going to start getting more specific into your chart. So do I have permission to share my screen with you?
Yeah.
Beautiful. I'm going to go ahead and do that and show you your cosmic blueprint according to my perspective. All right. Very exciting. So although the people listening to this won't see this, I will send Danny a picture of her chart so that you can use it for purposes. But this is your astrological profile. So if you follow my mouse here, you see right smack in the middle of the circle, that's little baby Danny, 6:58 in the morning in Hamilton, Ontario. Woohoo! This is a snapshot in time of where the cosmos were at. So out here, you see all these little pictures of the glyphs of the zodiac. This is the ecliptic. These are the constellations. These little glyphs inside the circle represent planets and astrological calculations. And then the lines here that you can see are what connects the planets and show specific aspects. And an aspect is how certain planets will relate to each other depending on where they fall in the sky. So for example, Danny has a big square in the middle of her natal birth chart.
Oh, yeah.
Those aren't very common. Those are pretty rare. I have one too.
Interesting.
This is called a cardinal grand cross. Yes. We'll talk a little bit about that shortly. But as you can see, this big red square, you see four different little corners connected here. And these planets are 90 degrees about 90 degrees away from each other in the sky. So these four planets were causing friction with one another. Ha, how ironic. And I had to do that. And interestingly enough, with a grand cardinal cross, these have to do with areas of your life where lessons need to be learned. And because you have a square and not a release point, you have to learn them in this lifetime. There's no cutting corners. There's no taking the easy way out. The kind of lessons you learn are the ones where it's like, if you kind of put it on the shelf for later, it'll come back even louder for you. I know that from experience, me too. And so,
yep.
And then there are other very, yes. And then harmonious aspects, where you see these blue lines over here, these are planets that really relate well to each other. So these ones are a little further away. I think this is 120 degrees because it's technically for, if there were to be another one, it would form a full triangle. For example, you have the moon in Saturn trine to Jupiter in Libra. What that means is the way that you expand creatively works very well in your favor, especially when it comes to earning your best fortune. Mind you, there are different areas that cause friction as well here that lead to that. But the point of the matter is it points to certain areas where gifts might flow more effortlessly. And so a little example of how this might manifest is it's the moon and Saturn in Aquarius trine with Jupiter in Libra in the seventh house. What this means in a nutshell is you are very good with the public. The connections that you make with the public are the ones that help you to expand. And so it's who you know. Who you know allows you to grow into, it helps you grow successfully with your career. It helps you expand as a human being. And therefore, I'm not surprised that you have so many different connections in fields that have to do with the public. You've gotten into mindfulness coaching. That's a whole other kind of relating to other people. And these things help you to expand. The moon is a place of understanding, of emotions, of security. And so that's an example of how this might manifest. Anyways, we're going to decode this in little pieces now. And I'm going to do it in my method. And I always start looking at it from this perspective because you kind of get the idea and the energy of how a person flows and functions. And you can see that a lot of these planets are condensed in the northwestern corner of the chart. So this is technically the eastern part of the chart. I don't know why tropical astrologers have chosen to do everything upside down, but the west side is the most eastern part of where the sun was rising at the moment of your birth. The sun was rising in Aquarius, and a whole bunch of your other planets follow suit, which means that a lot of the themes in your life, not to say that all of them, are related to your own self-discovery, are related to your own development, your own growth, your own authenticity. And the fact that you have so many different aspects throughout your chart goes, it just goes to show in this lifetime, you're really here to evolve and grow. And so let's start to get into more specific things, shall we? I like to start with the sun, the moon, and the rising. I like to call this the persona trifecta. So the reason why I call it the persona trifecta is because the sun and the moon represent your conscious and subconscious awareness. It governs how you think, how you act, how you react, how you feel. And the sun is the leading role of who you are, but the moon is more so your shadow self. I'm going to use a little cultural example. If you've ever watched Peter Pan, the cartoon, you see Peter Pan dancing around in Wendy's room with his shadow. And that shadow self only he sees until people get to know him better. All of us have a shadow side, and that's where the moon comes in. And then the ascendant, the rising sign, it's actually not a planet. It's a calculation of where the sun was rising in the most eastern point. And that ascendant point represents how the world sees you and what your first impressions are like, and also what your soul is aspiring for in this lifetime. And the ascendant is really important because that marks the flow of the rest of the houses in your chart, the flow of the rest of the themes in your chart. So, Danny, your sun is in Pisces in the first house, your moon is in Aquarius in the 12th house, and your ascendant falls at 25 degrees in Aquarius. So just to decode that for a second here, you have a sun sign that is water, And Pisces in the sun gives you a conscious awareness where you act and see the world as a multidimensional playground. It gives you empathy. It brings creativity. And I also want to mention that the sun was in 1 degree Pisces, which means that you have new soul lessons in this lifetime with the energy of Pisces, allowing yourself to tap into your more spiritual side, to tap into your empathy and not always shield your emotions from the world. Your sun sign is calling you to really feel and to be vulnerable in this lifetime. Now, the moon happens to be really close to the sun from when you were born. The moon was in Aquarius, about 10 degrees away from shifting into Pisces, and it was in the 12th house. Whew. The moon in the 12th house is always a really interesting and dynamic to explore because the moon is, like I said, your shadow self. And the 12th house is ruled by Pisces, and it's the house of hidden energy, hidden emotions, isolation, almost where you need to learn intimacy in a deeper way. And so with the moon in Aquarius, you may react with more logic and practicality before empathy really comes into play. And so your sun and your moon side, sometimes they can push pull each other, where your initial reaction is to maybe take your emotions and put them in a box for later, but your sun is like, no, I need to understand this, and I want to think through this and feel through this and express this in a way where it's relatable. And then what makes this even more interesting is your ascendant in Aquarius is sitting 5 degrees away from your moon in Aquarius. So therefore, your soul's aspiration and your soul urge is right there next to your emotional needs. And so your soul is aspiring to really step outside of the box, to really understand the world from a more outside the box perspective, to become modern, to become someone who isn't afraid to believe in something greater than themselves. And I will say that the Aquarian soul is very much a freedom fighter. And so there's always going to be a little bit of a rebel with a cause in your energy and in your personality. Tell me something, Danny. As a kid, did you feel awkward? Like super, super awkward, especially when it came to like meeting people, until you felt like, okay, I'm a bit more confident in myself. Especially because a part of you was always like, I feel so different. I don't feel understood. Not everyone understands me. I'm asking because I felt that way.
I'm laughing so hard because I was such a shy child because I didn't understand why other people didn't think or act like the way in my head I, you know, wanted to act. And so I always kind of struggled with this identity and figuring out who I actually was. And it wasn't until certain parts of high school where I kind of started to flush out personality types because I felt like I could be anything I wanted to be, that I was really like, okay, like I no longer am necessarily this shy person. But I was so shy as a kid at some point, I would just cry because I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know how to express myself, that the only way something would come out of me was to instantaneously cry in awkward, uncomfortable situations. And I wouldn't say that I fully got out of that until I was probably like 21 years old, 22, 23. Like now I feel like I'm 100% who I am. I'm still ever evolving because, again, what you said, I 100% believe that I'm on this earth to expand. I said this word for word to my boyfriend last week. I was like, I don't think I fully understand my life's purpose aside from I am here to constantly expand and learn and not just take what is put in front of me and accept it. I want more. I know that there is more. And the fact that you're saying all of this, I was sitting here just like, I'm sweating and I have goosebumps at the same time. Because I'm like,
I love it.
Oh my goodness. Like this all makes so much sense.
And we're only at the crown. We haven't even gotten to your past life karma and your soul urge yet. That's what we're going to end this off with. Oh yeah. Yes. This gets multidimensional as heck. And before we move into more of the planets, I do want to add to how you expressed that the only way that you could actually get out the things that you were feeling inside is just to cry, and it would be awkward and uncalled for and so uncomfortable. That's the moon in the 12th house, especially when you feel everything around you so deeply and you are tapped into the collective. The 12th house makes you someone very much tapped into the collective. So until you learned to understand your own emotions, you probably absorb the other emotions of everyone around you, as well as your own very deep emotions. And when you're not able to consciously depict what exactly is going on, 1000% waterfalls uncalled for. And so what I would say to anyone with these positions is finding a healthy expression of how you feel, writing, singing, dancing, maybe it's movement. Maybe you have a sport, a hobby, maybe you like getting handy, whatever it is, as long as you have a way to get it out, even if you don't have the words to express it, that's the first thing that will be a huge anchor in being able to feel more balanced in your emotional well-being. And so, yes, as we proceed and we talk more about the planets, I'll also mention a couple of examples of how these planets interact with each other in your chart, because it's one thing to talk about the planet and the sign, but how they're aspected to each other gives a bit of extra spice. So
yeah,
I believe that. Yes. So we're going to move into the inner planets. So we're moving away from the sun, moon, and rising, and we're going to talk about the planets that animate more of your personality. And so the inner planets are the ones that are closer to the sun. We have Mercury, Venus, and Mars in this chunk of planetary inspection here. And Mercury's orbit is the closest to that of the sun's of the Earth's orbit around the sun. And therefore, Mercury has always been the planet that's associated with the mind, with how we think, with how we speak, with how we express, with how we learn, with how we exchange information. Mercury is also connected with short-term travel, commerce, how you deal with the public. And so this planet is also very much connected to your mental well-being. So for you, you happen to have Mercury in Pisces in the first house. So it's very close to your sun sign. And I've noticed with a lot of people that have the sun and Mercury in the first house rising, these people are usually very known for their expression. So actors, hosts, singers, people on TV, I see it all the time. You have that placement. And with having Mercury in the first house, it's no wonder that you're not just a podcast host, but you're someone that does their best to explore many different ways of understanding the soul and mindfulness and different ways to help us help ourselves. And it's so relatable. That's such a Piscean thing to do. Make it relatable, make it real, make it raw. And so soulful expression is huge for you. And sharing how you feel in the most authentic setting is the most therapeutic thing that you can possibly do, especially with your moon in the 12th house and the ruler being Aquarius. You have lifetimes of wisdom that's finally about to get the recognition it needs, because when you figure out that you need to channel your emotions through your expression and you find the people who are right there with you feeling the same way from who knows how far, oh my goodness, it's awesome. I'll also add that Mercury in Pisces loves music. In fact, it needs music and the ability to get lost in some form of expression that transcends spoken word. So that's huge. Me too. Honestly, it's why I will never stop moving and dancing and singing, just even for myself, because sometimes I just don't have words. You too. And that's a thing.
Yep.
Also, speaking in metaphors and storytelling, podcast host over here.
Yeah, huge.
That's a thing. Now, I will add there are a couple of low roads with this position. And maybe this is something that you have become a lot more self-aware of as you get older. But speaking in metaphors is one thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a thing that really helps in the long run, actually. I only speak in metaphors too. But beating around the bush and not getting to the point of things, that might have been something more so when you were younger. But as you get older, this is something, because you have Pisces in the first house, you kind of eventually learn to get to the point. So if you struggled with getting to the point in the past, it's something you were eventually learn to navigate and work with. And again, it's because your sun is hanging out in the first house right next to Mercury rising. All this was going to be okay anyways. So that's good. For me, I have my Mercury in Pisces in the ninth house. For me, it's like getting me to focus on one thing, I'm a total squirrel.
Oh, I see.
Yes. And I'm constantly learning, no matter what. Like, I can't stop. I'm literally woke up at 6 a.m. and watched a webinar from a guy in Australia because I wanted to. That's the way my mind works. I'll also add one other thing about your expression. This placement makes you a textbook empath. Emotionally, you absorb so much of the energy of the people around you. Not a bad thing. It's very good because it makes you very relatable, as I mentioned. And this also makes you someone, this might be a little lesser known fact about being animated, but you might be really good at animating other people's expressions. So if someone like has a voice or like someone has a specific facial expression, or you like to kind of mimic something, it might make you really good at those kinds of things. So these are all just random fun facts. As we proceed, I want to talk a little bit about Venus and Mars, because these two planets really dance with one another. Venus is a planet of beauty, love, relationships, what we value, and represents more of our feminine energy and expression. And Mars is the masculine planet of how we get stuff done. It's the energy of force and where we really act towards our values. So they can really help us to understand how we relate to others, how we go after what we want, what might block us from doing that. So you have Venus stationed in Aries, but it's on the border of the first and the second house. So you value your appearance, you value your first impressions, you value also what you earn and what you own, what is yours. You're like, I am here to claim what is mine. And the thing is, you're not afraid to go after what you want. But
I want to hear this but.
But your Venus in Aries gives you the urge to constantly keep going. Even if everything around you is holding you back, you're still like, no, I'm going for it. But the things that hold you back are pretty intense. And this is where that big giant cardinal grand cross comes into play, because we're going to start talking about the four planets stationed in cardinal signs. So just a quick little astrology lesson for y'all here. The signs are organized in many different ways. One of the ways they are organized is by something called a mode. So there's a cardinal mode, a fixed mode, and a mutable mode. Cardinal signs are more the leaders and the initiates in the zodiac. Fixed signs, it sounds exactly as it is, more fixed in opinion, fixed in value, more steady. Mutable is change, flow, creativity. We all have a little bit of alchemy of all of these, but you have a lot of cardinal energy. And it so happened that four of these planets were stationed in all four of the cardinal signs. It's like you have a four-way stop with no lights or stop signs. And there are four cars at this four-way stop, and they're constantly like trying to see which one can go ahead first. But they know that if two go at the same time, someone's going to crash. It's this constant like, and it doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. This is here for life. And this is a huge part of your soul's evolution. So your soul urge is very much to take the lead and conquer. Just like you said, you're here to expand. I 1000% agree. What you value being stationed in the sign of Aries. Aries is the first sign of the zodiac, the one to go after it. When you see something you're passionate about, you might be very spontaneous. You get excited. You're like, let's take action. Let's do it right now. But the low road of this placement is that you may act impulsively at times, where it becomes almost like you kind of kick yourself in the foot or something like that, where it's like, I should have just like taken a step back to like really let this settle before taking the step forward. That happens. Mm-hmm. It may have happened more so in your earlier years, but as you gain more experience, and again, Venus is connected with relationships, awkward relationships, especially when you're younger with that moon in Aquarius placement. I was super awkward when I was interested in someone of the opposite sex or someone, anything like that, for the longest time, because my urge would be just to go for it. But then I was awkward.
Impulsive with relationships. And like when I first started dating, I was so incredibly impulsive and intense. And then it ended up making me awkward because sometimes it made me realize that it wasn't what I want. that I just maybe thought I wanted, or it looked good at the time, or maybe I was just really excited about something new.
Yes. And that first
very
house
impulsive with that.
Craves adventure. It craves excitement. And so I feel you, because I also have Venus in the 10th house. Venus in Aries, mine is in the 10th house. But what makes this placement really interesting is that it keeps you going. Now, typically when I see this placement, I would say that this is a person that likes to keep things light, superficial. You might not be a deep person, but you have so many other factors that lead me to be like, nah, this gal needs to go deep, which makes this placement even harder. Mm-hmm. Because your instinct, just like you said, this looks great on the surface, let's go for it. Doesn't matter if it's relationship, yep, opportunity, job, whatever. And then it's like, okay, wait, how do I allow myself the space to go a little bit deeper? Because that's what you really want, to go deeper. And so when you learn to place your value in your own self-worth, especially rather than what other people think of you from the outside in, that is when you can really hone in on this awesome powerhouse Venus and Aries energy that really wants you to go after what you want. And again, this is also a placement that makes you very people friendly. And fun fact about this planet, the cycle will renew with this planet every year and a half. And so Mercury, I forgot to mention the Mercury cycle. It'll cycle within 1 year, but it'll go through three different retrograde periods where the planet literally makes a detour. It impacts our minds. It impacts how we speak. Venus, its cycle more so highlights our relationships, our values, how we relate to others. And so I want to move and talk about Mars now, because Mars is one of those placements that also is a part of that big giant cardinal grand cross, because Mars is in Cancer. Cancer is yet another cardinal sign, and it happens to be stationed in the fifth house of creativity, inner child work, pleasure, fun, expression. And so being more upfront with your intentions and confrontations might have been really hard for you at the beginning. Because the last thing you want to do is ever rock the boat, especially as a kid. Oh God, you would much rather just, like you said, it was almost more comfortable for you to just awkwardly cry than say what you needed to say. And that's why
100%.
Yes. And this is what when I say physical activity, having a practice, especially I see you running. It makes me so happy when I see you running in your stories, because I'm like, your Mars and Cancer in the fifth house needs you to go running to blow off any steam. Yep. Because God knows suppressed Cancerian energy, especially in a grand cross like this, you'll have a lot of steam that isn't always acknowledged. And that could be anger. That could come out with passive aggressive tendencies. And the really, really, really dangerous part about this placement, and I have it too, so I'm also holding myself accountable, is if you're not careful, this passive aggressive energy to others can even become emotionally manipulative, because it's like, oh, yes, I'm fine, I'm okay. You're pretending like everything's okay, but it's really not. And so acknowledging that and allowing yourself to express it, even if it's not words, but if you blow off that steam, if you write it down, oh my goodness, it helps tremendously. Now, the high road of displacement, this enhances your empathy. This enhances your sensitivity. It enhances your ability to be relatable to others. And so although it may take time to warm up to situations that force you to get uncomfortable, when you realize that being vulnerable is a huge gift of yours and you learn to have confidence in your values and going after what you want, it becomes a lot easier to let go of a lot of things that scare you. And sometimes it's the scariest thing in the world, even for me to just say something that is the opposite of the opinion of someone that I know has a strong opinion. It's like, I don't know. And so reclaiming that confidence in yourself is huge. And so before I go into more of the outer planets, which have more to do with like long-term cycles, do you have any questions for me? Or if you wanted to like share any insights that you have, please go for it.
Yeah. So I think picking up on what you just said about passive aggressiveness, a lot of bent up energy that sometimes I don't know how to expel properly, it really describes me, because I find that my anger, my, we'll call them negative emotions, even though I hate that term, but you know, all of those emotions that we've really been taught to not feel. When I did feel them, my solution as a kid was to play sports, or it was some kind of self-expression, but with my body. I needed to physically release it from my body. Otherwise, I didn't feel fulfilled. I didn't feel empty. I didn't feel like I was able to exasperate everything that I needed to inside of me.
Wow.
So it's really interesting you say that, because becoming a teenager, okay, I wasn't necessarily crying at the drop of a hat anymore, but I still had all of these emotions that I didn't know what to do with. And the only way that I felt finally like I get them out is through movement. Yes. And physical activity. And I've carried a lot of that with me still, but obviously it's not as intense since I've learned my voice and I've learned that my passion is writing. However, what you also said about passive aggressiveness is, I've talked about this in another podcast I was on when I was being interviewed, is I talk about my toxic trait. My toxic trait being sometimes being emotionally manipulative and not fully comprehending what I'm doing, because it's that passive aggressive nature that sometimes I just can't put into words what I want to. So I just ignore it and I don't even bother. And I've realized how harmful that can be in relationships instead of addressing problems. So that unfortunately looked like a lot of emotional manipulation for quite a few years. And that is something that I recognize, I acknowledge, I say it out loud. I was like, I was toxic as shit to some people that I dated. And half of it was me not even understanding what I was doing and why. God, now coming to terms with everything, becoming self-aware, doing all of the work, I look back at it and I'm like, it's because as a kid, I didn't have that expression. I wasn't taught that expression. I didn't even know who I was. And it translated into this coping mechanism as an adult of still not knowing who I am while dating these people, because sometimes I just mirror whoever they want me to be, or I mirror who I feel like is the best fit at that time for them to just get by.
It's so funny, because the next planet we're going to talk about is not only a part of this grand cross, but it has a lot to do with your relationships and being mirrored. And this particular theme that you're talking about is very much something that drips into this planetary aspect. But thank you so much for sharing everything that you just shared, because I can genuinely say, me too. It's so uncomfortable mm-hmm. to admit it and to bring it into conscious light, but especially if you've already been doing the self-awareness work, it just kind of adds another level of, okay, this is a part of the lesson. This is a part of the challenge. This is a part of mm-hmm. me learning about myself in order to continue expanding. And so as we proceed into the next placement, we're getting into the planets further away from the sun. I want to talk about Jupiter, because this is a really big one for you for relationships. So Jupiter as a planet in itself actually has nothing to do with relationships. It's the planet of how we expand, how we grow, how we earn our best fortune. And you happen to have Jupiter in Libra, which is the sign that has everything to do with relationships, mirrors. And it's sitting on the border of the seventh and eighth house. This is a very critical degree to sit in. The seventh house is the house of relationships that's ruled by Libra. The eighth house is the house of vulnerability, the mind, mysteries, sex, inheritances, karma, lessons, conscious mind. It's a heavy house, death and rebirth. Mm-hmm. So, and also Jupiter is the only planet in your natal birth chart to have been retrograde at the moment of your birth. And so you have Libra falling in this very critical oh, wow. line. I have Jupiter in Libra in retrograde on the critical line of the third and fourth house. So where this manifests in my relationships is the ones with my family and my ability to stay stable in my family and in my home life. Fun fact, I've moved 30 times in my life. I'm going to be 29. Well, we have the same birthday, but this is how this placement has affected me. My family dynamics, I'm constantly moving. Relationship. Mm-hmm. And again, this may bring up some wounds. This may be very uncomfortable, but this is to bring back relationships. You may have had a period where the relationships that you were in just like you mentioned, they were mirrors. You didn't understand your dynamics. There were toxic traits being exuberated, especially in the relationships. You may have had a lot of them come and go. And a lot of them were very big transformation points. And sometimes that meant breakdowns that led to breakthroughs. And so I know that right now you're in a very healthy relationship, which brings me so much joy, because one of the greatest keys to your expansion and growth is through your relationships. And when you learn that, allowing yourself to become vulnerable and open and have healthy communication and awareness of one another, you can create connections that last a lifetime and that help you to carry through whatever your soul's aspiration wants in this lifetime. And that could be anything to do with career, what brings you joy. What brings you your best fortune? It's not even about money. It's about what literally makes you happy. And so, as mentioned before, a lot of your planets are very much connected to your path of learning about yourself, learning about your value, sharing your story. And this placement here is a big teacher for you, because it really wants you to learn through your experiences with relationships. And when you learn that fine line, that middle ground, my goodness. And so, with that being said, this is also a very strong career point. And so I would say this makes you really good with the public. This makes you really good. It makes you good with the public, not just because you're well-liked for what you do, but also because you have a very strong ability to understand others, especially with more life experience within relationships. Wow. I could even see you going into career counseling or something to do with coaching and helping people to become more self-aware. But ultimately, I see this placement. I see psychology. I see counseling. I see therapy. I see healing. I see just working with people in general to create something more authentic in the long term. And it's interesting too, because you may find even with money, the areas that bring you the most abundance in that sense have to do with when you are working with other people or working with people who really, really, really stand with you and share the same vision. One other thing I'll say, because Jupiter is basically just peeking into the eighth house, the saying, what goes around comes around, for you is especially relevant. And so,
oh my God,
what you put out there is what you get back tenfold. 1000%.
I swear that is something I've lived my life by for as long as I can remember. I always have thought that the way that I treat others, no matter how incorrectly I feel like maybe they treat me, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to put in as much as I can, because I believe that's going to come back around to me tenfold at some point. Maybe it's not right now. Maybe it's not in this relationship, and I just need to learn from this exact moment. But I've always been that person who, maybe I'm a little bit bitter right after a relationship, but for some reason, it doesn't fully make me jaded and hate people as much as maybe people would expect from certain situations that have happened. I still, for some reason, am so willing to love. I'm so willing to give people chances and give them everything that I have. Relationships are so important, romantic or, you know, friendships, family, like relationships to me. I am nothing without other people. I 100% believe that, and I don't need to have tons of them. I just need a good couple solid ones around me as a nice foundation, but I would not be who I am and I would not be where I am if it weren't for those people around me, whether it's their encouraging energy or whether it's them just letting me cry to them when I need to, or if it's for them to push me when they know that I can do better. And relationships are just so high on my priority list and my values. I value relationships more than money, more than almost anything else in my life. The quality of my relationships,
there you go,
is the most important thing in my life. And I will always be that friend that anyone can count on at the drop of a hat, because I just love so wholeheartedly, and I will put everything into those relationships. Wow.
And it's interesting because I look at your chart, I see your soul, I feel that. I feel that. And like, you're the kind of friend. And again, this is kind of a saying I always have. You're the kind of friend who has friends where if you needed to call someone up in the middle of the night to bury a dead body, that'd be you. Because you genuinely have that soul where it's like, this is important. This is a huge part of not just how I support myself, but how we can continue to support others. And how Aquarian is that, by the way? Aquarius is so connected to their groups, their friends, their communities. And that also extends to your romantic relationships as well. Again, your partners also need to be friends with you as well. I should have added that to what I recently said. With having an Aquarius ascendant, having friends as partners is absolutely crucial. And just knowing that the quality rather than the quantity is more important. And actually, we're going to jump back into the topic of Aquarius right now, because Saturn, which is one of the big planets to discuss, is sitting in Aquarius, really close to your moon, like literally right next to your moon sign. And so this is a big deal because I feel this every single day of my life. I know you do too. So Saturn is the planet of lessons, karma, restrictions, responsibilities, accountability. And every 28 to 30 years, Saturn will make a full return around the sun from where it was when you were born. So traditionally, this marks a maturation point in your life. So when you turn 30, for example, you and I, we're literally in the middle of our first Saturn return right now. Massive life lessons usually come full circle every 30 years. So you'll have one between when you're 28 and 30, when you're 58 and 60, and when you're 88 and 90. And so big major things usually happen during these time periods. I can already say since I've turned 22, my life has been like absolutely wild with, I mean, it's been brilliant, but at the same time, it's like, are you kidding me, universe? Sometimes I'm like, what's going on? That's Saturn working its magic right now.
Yep.
Well, I don't know about magic. It's an interesting planet, but it happens to be sitting at 22 degrees Aquarius in the 12th house for you. And with this planet sitting right next to your moon sign in Aquarius, this makes emotional expression even harder. Oh my goodness. When I analyzed this aspect in your chart, I was like, ooh, emotional expression. I'm going to go deeper into something. If you don't express yourself emotionally, that energy gets pent up in your body and can physically make you sick.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, huge. So, yes.
Yes. And it's interesting because Saturn is this planet of discipline and restriction, and Aquarius, especially with your sun, like your rising sign being Aquarius, you want nothing more to do than set your mind and soul free from emotional baggage and attachment. You just want to let it go. But in order to do that, and I'm sure you've learned this through experience and you're learning it, you need time for yourself.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter how involved in your relationships and communities you are, if you don't have that solitude and time to regenerate, which you need more than others, you melt. You know what I mean? You begin to melt.
That's a good word to describe how I feel. It's weird because
that's how I
shrivel up. Like, I don't know what to do with myself. I just turn into like a lump on the couch and I'm just like,
Yep. I have my Saturn in Aquarius in the 8th house, which isn't any funner, but this placement, especially like your emotional self-care and, you know, talk therapy or whatever it is that helps you remain balanced mentally. Like, you can't ever take that for granted. And I'll speak from personal experience. It's why I'm so passionate about astrology, because it has helped me understand this in such a deep way. And that's why I'm so dedicated to my practice. Even if it's just like, I take 5 minutes of my day, half the time I'm practicing something and you don't even know it outwardly, because it could be me just having a conversation with myself. Maybe I'm writing something down in my notebook and it's a quick journaling practice.
Right.
My practice sometimes is even with me in the car. Doesn't matter. The point is, these little things that I do keep me here. They keep me grounded. They keep me present. They keep me emotionally at bay. And if I don't do these little things, as kooky as sometimes they might sound, I melt. Bumping a log on the couch, just like you said. And it's challenging because it also, oh, another thing too, this might bring up some triggers. This also brings extra sensitivity to alcohol and drugs and potentially escapism. Me too. So this is where I say paying extra attention to your sleep and energy levels, as well as your nervous system, is so important. And learning to find balance, especially again, like drugs, alcohol, foods, even caffeine, these things impact your nervous system so much more than the average person. Yes. That taking extra care of that now is so key. And honestly, it's probably one of the biggest lessons you'll be learning at this point in time. Nothing can take you from your own personal practice and freedom, no matter what kind of relationship you're in, no matter what kind of career you're in. You need that relationship with you.
100%. I'm so glad that you said that, because there's something that with my partner now, I've never discussed with anyone else that I've dated. And it is that my freedom and independence and being alone is incredibly important to me. And I always thought that maybe I was such a bubbly, happy social person. I constantly needed to be around people. And so I was all the time. Then I realized that that was actually a form of escapism. And that was how I was coping with a lot of uncomfortable feelings that I would feel when I was alone. So now that I'm nurturing this other side of myself and doing the self-discovery, becoming self-aware and sitting with that discomfort, well, it wasn't willing. It was because of COVID and I was literally living alone for days on end and wouldn't see humans. However, I was forced into that and I didn't have an escape anymore. I couldn't party, couldn't do anything. I was stuck with me, myself, and I, and I didn't like who I was. And I was like, I want to love me. I don't want to hate me. I want to wake up and actually look at myself and be like, hey, you're kind of cool. Let's hang out today, and want to do that.
Yes.
And yeah.
I remember the podcast episode you recorded about this. And I was just like, yes, like this is such a huge, because I resonated with it too. I felt the same way too. I was like, heck yeah, I have all this extra time for me. I never had it before. But for you, especially looking at your chart, I'm like, perfect. Saturn was right on time, on schedule with the lesson you needed to learn there. Oh my goodness.
100%.
Because it's wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So when I had that conversation with my most recent partner, the one I'm currently with, we're looking at moving in together. And when that happens, I told him, I was like, I will do anything for this relationship, but please understand that the one thing I need from you is to respect my time alone. And don't take it personally. If I just wake up one day and you say, hey, like, let's go grab coffee and go out for lunch. And I'm like, no, don't take it personally. It's not that I don't want to spend quality time with you. It's I need quality time with me to balance out the quality time and everything else that I am giving everyone else.
1,000%.
I need to recharge. I need to refuel. I need to take care of myself. And it's not to say that I don't love being with people, because I do, but I really, really, really value being alone now. And that time alone is so sacred to me.
Oh yeah. Nothing can take you away from your freedom, no matter what, especially when you find it and you taste it and it's authentically exactly what you need. Oh yeah. 1,000%.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I notice now if I am with people for multiple days on end and I've neglected myself, I melt. I do exactly what you said. When I finally have the time to just be alone, instead of maybe being super productive at first, because I know I have things to do, I don't. I actually physically can't. I need to sit there. I need to melt for a little until I can work up some kind of energy and recoup my brain to actually contemplate the things I need to do again.
Oh my gosh. Literally. So yes.
Yes,
we could have a whole conversation just being like, yes, to so many different things. It's so interesting. And before I move on to the last three planets, actually, no, what I'm going to say actually goes into the next three planets. So these planets are the furthest away from the sun, and that's Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. And these guys have a lot to do with generational aspects, but they're very modern planets. Like, these are planets that were not really used in classic tropical astrology because they were only discovered in the last 400 years. So in your case, for your chart, me too, the planets Uranus and Neptune, they literally were stationed on top of each other. And these are very eclectic planets. Uranus is the planet of how you expand, but more so as your authentic rebellious self. It's the sacred disruptor. It's the modern aspect of who we are and how we want to really evolve. And Neptune is the planet that represents more of dreams, the veil between realms, illusions, deceit, also the media. And so when you got these two planets literally hanging out together, they're going bowling, they're having a party in Capricorn. Oh my goodness. In the 11th house for you, what happens is no wonder you have friends that stick to you like glue, who stand with you no matter what. And guess what? They're unique, they're influential, and they walk the same beaten path as you because they also want a life that's more modern and authentic. And so your friends, your connections, the people you know, oh my goodness. Your belief in the world is very concrete as well. And your friend group is very concrete and has kept you from not really giving up. And just like you said, at one point there was a codependency on relationships being your escape, friendships, anything, going out. But when you learn to find that healthy boundary and you realize in the right context, the right people, the right support systems totally energize you, motivate you, and make you want to keep expanding and growing. Whew. I also want to say, you are very innovative within how you see the world and the communities that you're in. So no wonder you're passionate about mental health and mindfulness, because truly you see the world as a space of possibility. And there isn't really a pretentious bone in your body because you understand people for who they are and what their paths are. The only low road is that, and I'm sure you've experienced this because I have, be careful for the people in your life who may put off one first impression and then turns out they're a completely different person, or they don't have your best interest in mind. And, you know, learning to be more discerning of the people you surround yourself with, especially because your soul wants to know unique people. You kind of learn through experience where your fine line is, because Uranus being in the 11th house, you might have friends that kind of come and go as they please. So your soul urge is really to find people that understand you. Again, you don't have to kind of be with each other all the time, but ultimately you want friends that are reliable. You want connections that are reliable, experiences that are reliable. And so with time, you will learn to know that your connections are crucial, but again, really owning into the need to really take a step back, recharge your batteries before you can bring your best foot forward. So key. So key. I also want to mention that these two planets in Capricorn, this is the fourth point of that big giant cardinal grand square. This also makes trusting yourself more challenging, because you might listen to all the other opinions around you before you really hone in on your own self and what your voice is telling you. And again, discerning that voice from other people and believing in yourself, you're the only person that can really diminish you is yourself. But learning that, whew, not easy. It's hard. It holds you back from growing up.
You saying that brings back a very unfortunate memory of someone very close to me when I was like 15 or 16 years old saying, you literally can't think for yourself. You just have everyone else's thoughts. And I was like, was it half true? Looking back at it, yeah, I absorbed everyone else's energies, everyone else's thoughts. And it was so difficult for me to understand what was theirs and what was mine and differentiate between the two. And that was something that self-identity, wondering who I was, because I was so busy absorbing other people that I never had the safe space to express myself wholeheartedly and who I wanted to be. Now, as an adult, I can almost like directly in my own brain understand what is someone else's thought that I have almost just stored, because I do like to obtain knowledge about everyone around me because I am a little bit more cautious around who I keep around me. So it's really interesting you said that, because I was just like, oh, I've been actually told that directly to my face multiple times now when I was young and I was still just adapting and learning and trying to be a human. And I don't know what was up or down.
Me too. Relatable. And the hardest part of it is at 15 years old, being told these words, which 1000% must have felt like a stab in the chest. You yourself.
Instantaneous, just cried.
Instantaneous, like awkward crying.
Didn't have a response.
No response. But it's probably because you didn't realize at the time that you had this empathic energy absorbing all these emotions that you had a hard time understanding yourself. How were you supposed to know mm-hmm. that at the time? A lot of people never figure it out mm-hmm. in their lifetimes. How are you supposed to know? And those core wounds right yep. there, those memories, I feel them too. I when you said that, I was like, oh, I can think of a time in elementary school where that was said to me too, and high school. Finding mm-hmm. that identity and feeling like you can be comfortable expressing the opinions based on that identity. Oof. And by the way, a great movie reference. Every so often I'll make cultural references. If you've ever seen The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, Carmen, who is played by America Ferrera, this is the best way to describe this energy, because Carmen in this movie is an energy. She's a woman who has been completely chewed up and spit out. She was a doormat. She had the best interests in mind for other people because she wanted to be seen, heard, and recognized. But truth be told, she was allowing other people to dictate what brought her happiness rather than reclaiming her own energy. And there's this scene in the second movie where she's talking to this girl, Julia, who she was only friends with because Julia was nice to her, but she wasn't serving her well. And she was basically just mm-hmm. allowing her to become her doormat, her personal accessory. And it was almost like everything she said or thought was mimicked and repeated and regurgitated. Like she was like a personal parrot. And then Carmen got mad and was like, you know what, right. Julia? The only person that can truly diminish me is yourself. And you taught me that. Thank you. She walked out, had an amazing day. And I remember that movie. I was never a big movie person. I used to like sci-fi stuff way more than anything else. But that movie and that character, I was like, I relate to this on such a deep level because me too. I literally understand when you say that being able to feel strong enough and going after what you want, easier said than done. And in this position here, especially mm-hmm. with this cross, it's something that you're constantly having to build more strength on. And so I admire that. I admire that strength. I'm so happy that you have been learning through experiences, even though it's tough, which leads me to the final planet, which is Pluto. And Pluto has the longest and the most erratic orbit of them all. And this planet won't ever make a full return around the sun in your lifetime or in the next lifetime. It takes 246 years. But this planet represents the underworld, the parts of you that you really don't see, the breakdowns leading to breakthroughs, self-destructive tendencies can get really intense sometimes, control, systems. And you happen to have Pluto in Scorpio. Pluto rules Scorpio, so it's even more intense, hanging out in the ninth house of expansion, long-term travel. So how this manifests for you, it actually is very complementary in a lot of different ways when you're able to really understand your own self. But before then, self-sabotage, oh gosh, especially in mm-hmm. your younger years. So the breakdowns leading to breakthroughs in your life, they definitely occur when you are becoming vulnerable with allowing yourself to go all in with something. And if you spread yourself too thin or like try to like do a million things at once, you might feel like your mind is spinning. But when you channel your energy yes. into one thing long-term, you're unstoppable. And also, this is a placement that goes to show that your belief systems are transforming in this life. You're anchoring on a belief system and something that motivates you, that really helps you go the full way, is huge. And so along that journey, of course, you're going to wander, you're going to explore, but ultimately you keep going in the right direction and getting closer and closer to that point. And so I believe that you're constantly going to keep learning. I The ninth house represents higher education, long distance travel, long-term study, anything long-term in your life. I would not be surprised if you end up going back to school for anything, for like at any point in time throughout your life, just because you're continuously adding.
I believe that.
To that, 1,000%. I could even see at some point in your life, traveling being something that really, really, really helps you to get really clear on things. So whether you've already gone on like a really long travel, or like whether you've thought about it, where you're just like, I kind of want to get out of here for a bit. Your soul's like, oh my gosh, please do it. Like, go for it. Because it's going to provide you with a lot of really deep, enriching experiences for your soul.
Okay. So the fact that you just said that, I'm moving to Colombia for 3 months.
What?
I got in January. Chills.
Okay.
I haven't announced it. I haven't announced it to the public yet, but I've told my closest people and it's happening. And it's something that I've said since I was 16 years old that I have to do. There's this draw, there's this pull that I need to go live somewhere else in the world and expand. I need to understand culture. I need to understand the different ways of life, because I feel so in a bubble here that I don't feel a part of. I don't feel like I fit in, and I don't understand how I'm part of all of it. So I need to go, I need to expand, I need to see what is out there for me. So yeah.
Can I?
You were saying that and I was like, oh, I cannot wait to tell her that I already am doing this.
Can I ask you where in Colombia you're going?
Medellin.
Uh-huh. Okay, so
it's a pretty big area.
You were meant to go there. So I just pulled something up on the side really quickly. I've recently started getting into something called astrocartography, where you can take the information from your natal birth chart, but you can see energetically different places in the world where your energy might be more pulled, where you might be inspired by certain beliefs or cultures. So you have a line going
so into that
right through South America, and it passes Colombia, and it's the North Node line, which is the Karmic Path to Freedom line. So you going there, I have chills right now. It's going to do a lot for your...
I have chills too. My whole body is goosebumps.
So this is career destiny, Danny, by the way. You going there and doing this, you watch. You watch things unfold in 3 months, and we'll talk when you get home and we'll see how that went. Because I have mad chills. I'm just getting into this stuff right now. So like, don't take my word for it, but it's pretty wild with what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we're going to talk about the North Node and end off your natal birth chart analyzation here, because this, again, I could talk about karma, reincarnation, destiny. I could talk about it forever. I could do a whole podcast on that topic alone, but each of us were born here with a mission. Each of us were born here with a purpose. And some of those missions and purposes are bigger than others. And it depends on where in the karmic wheel or where in your lifetimes you're at. You came here with soul lessons to learn. Pisces and your sun in Pisces in the first house means that you're here to learn new lessons. You're here to expand. You're here to grow. This Cardinal Grand Cross, if you don't have any awareness of it and the dynamics behind it, in the past, it's chewed people up and spit them out. An example of someone who has a Cardinal Grand Cross, Charles Manson. That's an example of a Grand Cross going really wrong, okay? Mm-hmm. Cardinal Cross going really well, you allow yourself to fulfill your life's purpose and do something really beneficial. And so this is where I talk about something called the lunar nodes. This is a calculation. And it's basically the northern and most southern part of the moon. The angle of it changes every couple of years. And these nodes of the moon are said to be what helps astrologers understand the most recent past life incarnation that they are coming into this life from. And the north node can dictate kind of like true north for where your soul wants to go in this lifetime. So
awesome.
This changes every 2.5 years. And you and I happen to have the exact same north node. And fun fact, you and I both have our north node in Sagittarius. This is more of like an astrological fact, but it's kind of a big deal. Our north nodes are literally very close to the galactic center of our Milky Way, which means that our purposes are amplified because it's very spiritual. It's like extremely spiritual. Like spiritual growth is a necessary, mandatory, and unavoidable part of your life's journey here. But you happen to have your North Node in Sagittarius in the 10th house and your South Node, past life energy, in Gemini in the 4th house. So South Node energy, you can see a lot of these themes play out in your early years. And you can see that your most effortless kind of place to go back to is your South Node. But this is your most recent past life energy leading into this lifetime. So South Node in Gemini in the 4th house. So in your previous lifetime, or even in your early years, you may have felt like you kind of had to stay comfortable. You kind of had to stick to your own. Maybe expanding and going after a career that was big and prestigious and, you know, wanting something bigger for yourself than just the norm, the mundane. In your previous lifetime, it's probably something you always wanted, but you were never able to anchor your focus and channel it in an appropriate way. So you were probably a jack of all trades who pretty much wanted to do a lot with their skills, but just never had the chance to. They had to focus more on their family. They had to focus more on their health, the basics. But in this lifetime, the North Node in Sagittarius wants you to take those skills, wants you to take those memories and do something with it and hone in on one purpose. The 10th house is the house of career and status and the work you're known for. And basically your mid-heaven point, which is kind of like the highest status your soul will achieve, is super close to what your North Node is. So your career destiny, your ability to go after what you want and anchor in and narrow the focus is a huge part of your karmic path of freedom. Not being afraid of, okay, I'm going to bring up family for a second here. You more than likely didn't have a very supportive family, or you do have some support, or you have some support where it's like, what's the way I'm trying to put this? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not to say that you're likely a black or white sheep in your family, but you're definitely doing it differently in this lifetime. 1,000%.
I am.
You're doing it differently. And getting comfortable with wanting to do it differently was scary as shit. Excuse my language. Terrifying to be like, okay, guys, I kind of want to do like this one thing. And it's not what you guys want from me, but I'm going to do it anyways. You probably had wreaking havoc over saying no or going against the grain, but going after what you want and allowing yourself to create a foundation with that. And this travel that you're about to go on, the fact that you're moving for 3 months, by the way, the North Node right now is currently in Gemini and the South Node is currently in Sagittarius. So right now you and I are both experiencing a lot of past life karma. I believe you've been to Colombia before. I believe that you're going to meet people in Colombia who feel like soul family. And the thing is, South Node in Gemini in the 4th house, you likely moved a lot. You likely were a person who traveled a lot and didn't stay in a place for a long time. So
yeah,
embrace this energy. You're going to be meeting a lot of soul family. You're going to be meeting, you're going to be becoming a lot more aware of other places that feel like home. It's very exciting for you. And so your true north is to go after what you want and to create something really stable out of it, to believe that you're able to create a foundation for yourself that is unique and authentic to what you want. And finding the courage to do it, no matter how many things try to hold you back, you got warrior strength. I see it here. It's there. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. This success will more or less begin to manifest. It's not going to get easier, by the way, not to say that it's going to get easier, but things will begin to come together after 30. So don't feel discouraged right now by the push pulls. It'll begin to come together and make sense after 30. Yeah.
There's a couple things to unpack with what you just said. And I think going back to your first comment about being the jack of all trades in the previous life and not understanding necessarily what to do with it because maybe other things just came first. My current position as an event planner, you have to be a jack of all trades. I am a marketing person. I'm a business person. I'm a salesperson. I am an accountant. I have to do all of these little things to make this production and this day happen.
Yep.
And it was something that I didn't necessarily understand as a career was an option because I felt like I was just good at everything. I wasn't necessarily excellent at everything or excellent at one specific little thing. I could do anything if I put my mind to it and I tried. And that was the same thing with sports. I could just naturally be athletic and try any sport and be like, okay, I'm athletic. Cool. I could look at numbers and all of a sudden I'm good at math. Cool. I can read and write very well. Writing is such a big passion for me. I'm like, I could be an author one day. Like, there's so many things inside of me. And I didn't understand how to put that into one career necessarily when I was initially thinking that you only could do one career. So for me, when I was, you know, 17, thinking of, oh, I have to think of my next life. I have to think of where I'm going next to my family. I was like, hey, I think I want to get into events. I think it makes sense for me because I kind of can just do everything. I don't understand how people have a craft and they just have one thing that they're passionate about. It's their life. I like everything. And there was a lot of push on it. They're like, how is that even a job? Like, how are you going to make money from that? That doesn't make sense. And you want to move to Toronto by yourself? I basically used to live on a farm. How are you going to do that? And there was so much resistance. And that resistance gave me the push that I needed because there was something about it that felt so right the second I said it out loud and I did the research and I realized that there was opportunity. And back when I started looking into this career, I saw where it was headed. I saw that this industry was going to blow up and be worth so much money if I got in at the time that I needed to. So going to school and then getting a job and where it's progressed now, I'm blown away at my ability to adapt and what it has brought in front of me because I have really become this person who doesn't settle. If I want something in my career, I make it happen. And that is something now that I'm known for in my friend group. They're like, Danny, the second you want something, you are going to get it and then some. And it's like this superpower I have because I am so confident in my career and my abilities to back up what I say that people see that confidence. And I say what I mean that they're like, oh, we'll give you whatever you want. Okay. And wow. I always wanted to be that person. I always dreamt of being that person, especially that shy little girl that would cry at anything. I wanted to be this strong woman that people would not say no to, that they just had to say yes to because she wouldn't even take no if that's what you tried to give her.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. 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 Mm-hmm. Wow. 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 And so this conversation comes at a really critical point in your life where, you know, you're realizing how far you have come and realizing that there is so much more to go. And it brings a point of reflection, looking back at the last 28 years being like, wow, life really is a playground and we really are here to learn. Yeah. And it's brilliant because what comes out of that, especially if you allow yourself the space to just go for it, ask questions, open your mind to a new possibility. It's absolutely incredible what could lie in front of you, but it's up to you to really choose whether you're ready for that ride or not, because it's the push-pull before you kind of say, all right, I'm heading for true north. It's like a seesaw. But essentially, I do believe that if there's a will, if your soul has a will, it finds its way. And so I want to wrap this up. That. Yeah, 1,000%. I want to wrap this up by answering a question. And that question is how we can use astrology and natal charts to really live up to our fullest potential and authentic selves. And I just wrote a couple of very simple lines that I think sum everything up in a really tangible way. We can use astrology and natal birth charts as a manual, as a literal tool to help you understand your own cyclic nature, whether it's personality cycles or lifelong cycles. We can use astrology to hold us accountable for our actions and help us to reframe certain habits and patterns that have kept us stuck. We can use it to bring us closer to our destiny and keep us on track with what our soul really desires and wants us to achieve in this lifetime. We can use astrology to understand our actions, reactions, communication styles, and we can use it to understand the dynamics between the relationships we have. And ultimately, we can use it to understand the fact that we are all here to learn, and that we are all brought with different lessons and opportunities and challenges, and that there's nothing inherently wrong with us. In fact, we are all here with such unique opportunities to share with one another. And if you really open yourself up to it, you see that there is so much potential in life that honestly, it makes me sad sometimes where when I meet people and I have someone book a reading with me and, you know, they wish that they had received a reading earlier, for example, because they're like, my goodness, if I just received that affirmation or that knowing so that I could, you know, give myself the opportunity to really anchor my focus, it's like, would things have been different? But the thing is, there's never a wrong time to discover your natal birth chart. It doesn't matter if you're 10, it doesn't matter if you're 50, it doesn't matter if you're 90. Ultimately, it's here for you to discover. And if it's meant for you to discover it, it just kind of comes to you. And so thank you for allowing me the chance to read your chart, Danny, because you and I know we've talked about our charts a lot, just like through conversations here and there, but to actually unpack it together was so amazing. And so I'll hand it over to you if you have any final thoughts before I guess we wrap up. Yeah.
So this is something that I've been interested in for a very long time. And I think that part of it can be intimidating for people because sometimes you need something to identify with and you need something to blame. And I didn't feel ready to necessarily explore all of this until I was past that, until I was at a point of understanding that I am going to have flaws. I am going to have downfalls. I just need to know how I can work in harmony with them instead of exuberate them and maybe rustle my own feathers and make the worst of me come out. And I just want people to know that while Amanda was going through all of this and really highlighting a lot of the benefits of my chart and what was great for me, she fully said, by the way, this is also potentially a downfall for you. And every downfall she said, I am owning up to and saying, oh yeah, I have been there. I have done that. I've gone through it. I just am to the point of being self-aware now where I just call myself out on my own shit instead of hiding from it. And I think that if you are someone who is looking to maybe finally take accountability for some of your negative patterns, this is a really great starter because you don't do it alone. You have Amanda guide you. You have her explain things to you in the most gentle and honest and just, this is what it is. And maybe these are your tendencies, but you also have this that can maybe help alleviate that.
Yes.
And that's what I love about astrology so much is it's not necessarily black and white. It's very much, yeah, okay, this is maybe who you were in your past life, but this is who you can grow into be if it's what you want. Because ultimately it comes down to what we want and what we want to channel, what we want to use to our benefit in order to be the person that we've always meant to be.
Exactly.
And that's why I'm into it and I understand it now. And I appreciate this so much because hearing it completely broken down is like a aha. First off, I can't believe that I'm already doing things that my soul has been craving. I'm finally fulfilling, but you're just like, yes, like, that is what your soul has needed. And there's a reason why I've become self-aware that these things keep creeping up and telling me to do this. It's telling you to do this for a reason. And the second that you listen and you tune inward, things are just going to start to become so clear. And things have been coming very clear for me. And I think this trip is going to be a piece of the puzzle that I always knew existed and I always knew I needed. And once it finally connects, I'm going to be like, this is just a whole new world of expansion. And it's going to be, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to come back and tell you about everything. The second that you said soul family, my entire body got this like weird sensation from head to toe.
It happened again.
And I was like, I'm going to meet people there that are meant to be in my life for some reason. I just know it. So crazy.
Oh, I feel it in my bones. I just got chills. I got goosebumps all over my body. Oof. And I think I want to end off everything and say that astrology is a tool. Just like you said, it can never replace you from your own free will. It's a tool to help you see if you're on track. And if you're not on track, it's okay. It's a-okay because this is your journey. It's unique. We're all going to explore. We're all going to learn. We're all going to make mistakes. And yeah, it's a tool that really, especially if you're in a space where you feel, like you said, more ready to take accountability, it's brilliant. I'm not going to lie. When I first read my chart for the first time, I was like, okay, I really don't like this aspect of myself. I'm just going to pretend I never read that and ignore it. And then I just couldn't ignore it anymore. And now it's one of those things. It brings me such joy to share it with other people because it really does light up a lot of areas in our lives that maybe don't always get the light that they deserve. And so
yes,
if I do want to mention that, I know that this is being shared mid-November. I am open for the remainder of 2021 for natal birth chart readings. Perfect. And I work virtually. And for anyone that feels the call to perhaps explore their cosmic blueprint in a deeper way, I have open availability for this whole year. I'm still going to be taking natal birth charts 2022, but winter and fall are usually my busy seasons. So I have very open availability now. But I'm in the process of writing a book about all of this because I know
that I love that for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, I'm writing the book about this because I wish I had this when I first started asking questions about where my life was going. And for me, that was 2016. And it was a lot to figure out. And I know that this creation that is being manifested right now, I'm really excited to share it with the world because you know that deep feeling of passion and emotion that you can't describe with words. It's literally all of that in this creation I've been making for the last year. So if you want to learn more about the work and keep in track, keep up to date with what's going on, I'm sure you'll attach my Instagram and website to the show notes, but I run under the brand The Mindful Magic Method. And you can find me at mindfulmagicmethod at .com or at mindfulmagicmethod on Instagram. And I'm just so excited to see where, you know, your podcast goes, where my work goes, and how we'll continue to run parallel with one another. So,
yes, I'm so excited for that as well. I have no doubt that we're going to be in each other's lives for quite a long time. So,
yeah.
Amanda, thank you. This